On this episode of Baseball Barbacast, we give you the overs and unders for all 30 MLB teams. How many wins in 2026 for these ball clubs? How certain are we in these projections? Not very certain, but we have a good time discussing them. All that and more on this episode of Baseball Barbacast.
Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbacast, the only baseball podcast in the world completely unprepared for the upcoming season. I'm Jake Mintz. That's Jordan Schusterman. And my friends keep asking me, hey man, who's going to win the World Series?
My least favorite question every March. The most obvious question and yet my least favorite. However, we can no longer avoid previewing this season. We cannot just be like, sorry, I'm too focused on Team Nicaragua's bullpen. It's time to focus on the Major League Baseball season. We have two episodes remaining before this 2026 regular season begins. And so, my friend Jake Mintz, we are going to spend this Monday episode talking about all 30 teams and how many games they're going to win. Very simple construct, but not something I am particularly looking forward to putting my name next to because I have no idea what's going to happen. But how are you broadly feeling at the start of this week where the Major League season is going to begin? And then I'll let the folks know what we're doing on this episode.
Well, after we finish recording this, I will be putting on my socks and or shoes and heading to Nationals Park, where there will be a scrimmage between the two Beltway ball clubs. The Nats are hosting the O's for a little home and home. They played at Camden yesterday, playing Nats Park today. And it'll be a nice little test run for the season. I get to figure out where my seat is this year. It's like the day before you go in for the first day of school to like drop some books off if you need to. So I'm very, very excited for that.
All right. Well, I'm glad you will get to see some IRL baseball. I will not be seeing a game. I guess my first game in person will be in DC with you, as I will be home to see the Dodgers and Nats for the Nationals official home opener, which today definitely is not. Meanwhile, my local Guardians start on the West Coast, so I will not see them until April. But enough preamble. What is the purpose of this Monday episode of Baseball Barbacast? Well, this is our over-under special. While we do not particularly care for the sports wagering space as much as it continues to invade our everyday existence in baseball, not in baseball, for many other reasons.
However, sports gamble. Yeah. I should be honest with this. I sports gamble once a year on the hot dog contest. I gamble on the over or the under for Joey Chestnut. It is the only thing I bet on all year. If that somehow invalidates me from being a good person or being in the Baseball Writers Association of America, my card is right here. You could please come take it, both for my good person card and my BBWAA card.
Well said. However, for the purposes of this podcast structure, we are going to use the over-under win totals from BetMGM to just kind of give us a little bit of a gauge as to where the quote-unquote market believes that these baseball teams are going to finish this season. However, along the way, we're also going to sprinkle in the most prominent projections that we have from two sites that we frequent far more often than BetMGM, known as FanGraphs and Baseball Prospectus, of course, the leading kind of projection sites, Pecota, as it is known at Baseball Prospectus, their longstanding projection system, and FanGraphs, of course, which we use every day. And so while at the end of each team, we are going to decide over under based on that win total from the sports book, we are also going to reference those projections just to give us a sense of what the computers are telling us these baseball teams are going to do. All right. We have a lot to get to, so let's do it. It's our opener. It's our whole show.
And we will begin within walking, biking, metro distance for me in the National League East, though the Nationals will not be the first team because we are going to go in order of finish from 2025. And so the Phillies of Philadelphia will be our first team. The over-under for them is 89.5. The Phillies won the division last year for the second consecutive season, before getting punched in the mouth by the Dodgers in the NLDS. Jordan, over under 89.5.
I have it's been an interesting few years with me trying to ride with the Phillies. Last year I was like, this is it.
You are
this is going to be kind of the last hurrah. This team is maybe its best chance to really get over the hump here, and that decidedly did not happen. However, because Kyle Schwarber is back, because Zach Wheeler does not actually appear as injured as we thought, because Christopher Sanchez got even better, and because they are now finally, for the first time in a long time, going to let the kids play, how optimistic am I specifically about Andrew Painter and Justin Crawford? I appreciate the kind of change in approach and tone and willingness to kind of move on to something different. All of that combined still makes me fairly optimistic about the Philadelphia Phillies, and I am feeling quite good about the over. However, it is worth noting that Fangraphs and Pecota a little bit less optimistic. They're closer to 85, 87 wins in the projections, but I still think this is a 90-win team.
I will also take the over. I think the Phillies on Fangraphs and Pecota, my guess is that they don't like the depth. Those projection systems are low on the depth, but the thing about the Phillies is, especially on the pitching side, they have shown a unique ability to keep their arms healthy in a way that I'm just going to continue buying that that is a skill or an organizational characteristic and not necessarily a fluke. So I will also take the Phillies. However, the Phillies to get the over. However, I do not think they're going to win the division, and that is because they share a division with the New York Metropolitans, who are projected for 90.5 wins. That is the over-under from BetMGM. I'm going to take the over on that, and I'm going to pick the Mets to win the National League East.
Okay, so this is the big question. As we mentioned, the Phillies mostly sticking together. The Mets completely overhauling their roster. I will have my annual exercise looking at how different the teams are this year compared to last year. This will be coming out of Yahoo this week, which is basically taking a look at all the plate appearances and innings pitched for a team in a season and how many of those plate appearances and innings pitched are still in the organization. And the Mets are a perfect example of a team of why you go about this exercise. And sure enough, they did not rank last. They do not have the lowest percentage of returning plate appearances and innings pitched, but they are indeed in the bottom five. I mean, this amount of change, mostly on the position player side, but you know, in the bullpen as well, is pretty substantial. And they did get a new opening day starter in Freddy Peralta, is shocking. I mean, it's I can't think of many other off seasons that we've seen like this. And that's not even before you get into kind of the emotional baggage that comes with moving on from the Pete Alonso's, yeah, and Brandon Nimmo and Jeff McNeil and Edwin Diaz and so on. So
in the lineup,
I can understand
specifically.
Yeah, go ahead.
In the lineup specifically, we should just say it's five new everyday players. It is Bo Bichette in, Jorge Polanco in, Luis Robert in center, Marcus Semien in at second base, and then right field was probably going to be Mike Tauchman on opening day. He had an injury very late on in spring, so it does look like Carson Bench, top prospect, is going to get a lot of the run out there and right to begin the year. And then in the rotation, the new name is Freddy Peralta, which is a very good new name. As a whole, though, I'm buying all of these new names. I think that this was a bold way to conduct an offseason. I think it was a very humble recognition that whatever the plan was not working. This is a real pivot. And I think it is a pivot that is going to play dividends in New York.
Fangraphs and Pecota a little bit more in line, both of them having the Mets around 88, 89 wins. I am picking the Phillies to win the division still. However, I could see the Mets still going over here. So I am a little bit more worried about how all these pieces fit together and certainly a little bit more concerned about just what's going on the mound behind Freddy Peralta. So because of that, and now they have way more depth than the Phillies on both sides of the ball. So
yes,
that is where they could certainly benefit if the Phillies do end up getting injured. But I still, there's just still some things I don't love about this roster. And because of that, I am going to take the Phillies. Okay. However, I will also go over slightly. I'll say Phillies like 94, Mets maybe 91, 92.
How important is spring training? Probably not that important. It did feel important when my ass was planted behind home plate at Clover Park in St. Lucie and was watching Kodai Senga throw 98. Like I saw that.
It's a good one.
And I think that that is a worthwhile data point.
Didn't Juan Soto say that's our ace? I believe was a quote that he said when asked about Kodai Senga. I was like, yeah, I mean, he was supposed to be. So maybe he can be. No, I mean, Senga's as enigmatic as it gets. So he could be a big part of that. All right, let's go down to Miami where we just were, Jake Mintz. How optimistic is anybody about the fighting fish in 2026?
So the Marlins are at 72.5 for the over-under. Somehow, some way, they hit the over on that a year ago. I believe they won 76 games. Correct me if I'm wrong.
79 wins last year.
79 wins. Wow. Now, I'm going to take the under on 72.5 because I think the Marlins played so far above their skis last year. I think so much went right for that team. I think that they were – that year was like a year ahead of schedule where – I think if they had won 73 or 71 games last year, no one would have been mad about it, right? Mm-hmm. This is not a team that I expect to compete this season. I'm excited for what I just said to be put into like a postseason hype reel for the Marlins in October that I don't expect them to compete. I just don't really believe in the upside of this position player group as it's currently constructed.
I believe in the upside. I don't believe in the floor. That is my concern. Mm. I think that there's a lot of young players to be excited about. Unfortunately, their big breakout from last year, Kyle Stowers, is already injured to start the season, so that doesn't help. A lot of young players that you're like, oh man, like that guy's on the way up. You know, now we bring in Owen Casey and what Jacob Marcy did last year. And I think on the mound, there's reasons to believe Sandy's going to be better. And, you know, I love Eury Pérez and Max Meyer and so on. But I agree with you. That said, 72.5 is still pretty low.
It's a little low.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, again, 79, again, which would floor me if they could pull that off again. But I'll still go slight over. I'll still go slight over here. This is another team that has reinforcements on the way in the upper minors that I think will help them on both sides of the ball. So this is not a third place team, but I don't think it's that bad either. I still think that there's some reasons to be excited. And the projections say closer to 75. I think that's about right.
This was a third place team last year, and that is because the Atlanta Braves fell apart at the seams. This winter, the Braves are projected for 88.5 wins. The projection systems that have always loved the Atlanta Braves have not pivoted from that position. 88 for Fangraphs, 89 for Pakoda. I will take the under on the Atlanta Braves at 88.5.
I am also there just slightly. Again, last year, just a complete disaster, winning 76 games, which in some ways, it almost felt worse than that. I know you came into the season expecting to challenge the Dodgers as the best team in the National League. So by that standard, it was certainly a disaster. But just watching them, the vibes, the number of injuries that they went through, 76 almost feels miraculous. That said, what they're facing this year, despite, you know, being pretty aggressive in the offseason to kind of patch up the middle portion of the roster, whether that was bringing back guys like Raisel Iglesias, adding Robert Suarez, adding Mike Yastrzemski. We know the Jerks and Profar news was not exactly a good way to set the tone for the season. There are still some tremendous baseball players on this roster, and so I think they will be in the mix for a wild card spot, though I do believe I ended up picking against them making it. And so I am going to also say under.
Let me say this. What were the problems with the Braves last year, and did they fix those problems, right? I don't think they did directly. One of the issues was pitching injuries, where Bryce Elder ended up throwing the most innings of anyone on the Braves and having a negative 0.4 BWAR and a 4.55 FIP. Like, that does not feel like a problem that was solved, as Reynaldo Lopez looks very reduced and Spencer Schwellenbach is on the IL. And I just don't think that they are going to have the Hurston Waldrop got TJ in the bullpen. The bullpen was like not great, but was just kind of fine. That unit should be better. And then on the offensive side, they had a complete zero offensively at shortstop with Nick Allen. They went out and got Ha-Sung Kim, who immediately fell on some ice. And now that's going to be Jorge Mateo, who I'll take the over on Nicky Allen's 53 OPS plus from last year, but I probably won't take the over on 85, you know? And so I just, with Profar being out all year, I just don't know if there's enough of a second level here to propel the Braves back above 90 wins. So that's why I'm taking the under.
Yeah, I mean, Mauricio Dubon also factoring into that shortstop mix, but same thing. You're not really expecting much from him offensively. I do like the bullpen that they've either retained or added to with Suarez. The pitching injuries are terrifying. Ronaldo Lopez throwing like 89 miles an hour in his last spring training start does not inspire a lot of confidence, even if he is technically going into the season healthy. And last thing I'll say about them, you mentioned that second level. That second level is the guys that have been there forever. It's Austin Riley and Ozzie Albies have to be better. I mean, Albies was downright bad. I mean, Riley was injured and just relatively down from where he has been, but he's been trending in the wrong direction. But those guys, Riley in particular, was a top 50 player in the league for multiple seasons in a row when the Braves were really cooking. If he can get back to that, that obviously goes a long way. And then Drake Baldwin is just a beast. I mean, that's something that you can really lean on and be like, look, even with Sean Murphy, who, you know, we thought was one of the best catchers in baseball, being injured and not there, to have Drake Baldwin, this incredible homegrown, what looks to be a star, is not something to be overlooked. And I think he'll do a lot for this offense. Let's finish up the National League East with those Nationals, which you will see here today. BetMGM has them at 65.5 last season when they were quite bad. The Nationals won 66. So can they repeat that? Or with a new coaching staff, new front office, and a few new players, although not too many new players, will they be worse than last year?
No. That's the thing, dude. I can't get my brain around them being worse. Now, on the pitching side, I think they could be a lot worse. No Mackenzie Gore is a big deal. The thing... You're giggling. The thing, though, is like, if they're a lot worse, why? Like, why would they be worse? Is it would just
you
be
just
the
said,
pitching staff
you just said,
imploding
you said
into oblivion?
That's half the game.
I think that the offense is going to be pretty solid. And I think that this coaching staff and this new front office is just going to be better at stuff. Like, I think they're going to be putting the defenders in the right places. And I think they're going to be throwing the right pitches and the right counts. And I think they're going to have a better feel for finding value on the margins. Now, when you're talking between 63 and 69 wins, like, okay, what's the difference? I just believe enough in this operation that the Nationals will be better than they were a year ago.
Well, what's the difference is whether you're correct about this over-under or not. And I would say that I am with you that there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. I think I'm struggling with them and a couple of the other rebuilding teams where just because the right people are now in place doesn't mean they are suddenly going to win more games. In fact, it's possible that some of the processes that take place, and also, to be frank, if they end up trading more pieces and just end up leaning even more on young guys, I think they absolutely could be worse. And that doesn't mean that I feel worse about their chance. I certainly feel better about them being good in 2028 than I did before they overhauled their front office. But as for this season, I still am not super optimistic. So, again, that's a pretty low number. But in this division, man, like, I think I am going to go slightly under here.
Okay.
I don't love it. Fangraphs has them at 69, which would certainly be a nice outcome. But
nice.
I'm just worried. Hopefully I'm wrong, because I do like a lot of the players on this roster.
I would like to officially announce my first morsel of concern regarding Dylan Cruz. I have been the highest person on Dylan Cruz the whole time. Mm-hmm. I think he's a star. I still think he will be an all-star at some point. But him not making the roster out of spring training and getting sent to AAA is, it's not good news, no matter how, you know, you want to frame it. It's certainly not ideal, and I am not concerned. Let's move over to the NL Central, where the Milwaukee Brewers are coming off a year in which they had the best record in baseball. 97 wins a year ago. No respect from the market or the projection systems as the Brewers. What?
Never respect. There's never. This is how it's going. Every year we do this. Every year.
84.5 for the Brewers. I mean, we could go through this one pretty quickly. Over. I think you can say like, oh, the Brewers won't be as good as they were last year. And I think that is true. But 84.5? Maybe I'm a sucker, but at this point, I'll just ride the wave.
And of course, that's even higher than the projection systems, both pegging them closer to a 500 team. But yeah, I mean, we'll have the same conversation with Cleveland here a little bit later. The Brewers have won the last four seasons. They have, okay, let's just exclude 2020. This is their win totals since 2017, okay? 86, 96, 89, 95, 86, 92, 93, 97.
Yeah, I'll take the over on 84.
So yep, they sure did trade Freddie Peralta, and they sure did trade Caleb Durbin and Isaac Collins, and over. I mean, we can go through the reasons why they are going to be good, and Mizorowski and Bryce Tarang, Churia, whatever. They have some good players. They have more than enough good players for me to believe over 84.5. Enough to win the division? Well, let's go to the Chicago Cubs, who both the sports books and the projection systems are a little bit more optimistic about. Pecota with the Cubs at 89 wins, Fangraphs 85, but the over-under is 88.5. I will jump out and say from the jump here, I am also taking over. I am picking the Cubs to win this division. While they have not necessarily earned the benefit of the doubt in the same way that the Brewers have, I just like a lot of the baseball players that they have.
Yeah.
I think it is the upside with them is, I think, great. Again, they don't have the depth that Milwaukee has. It's kind of a similar conversation to the one we had comparing the Phillies versus Mets. I just like what I'm looking at in the starting lineup with the Cubs a little bit more than the Brewers. Depth-wise, Milwaukee certainly is in much better position in case of injury. So maybe that makes me look silly over the course of a long season. But I like some of the moves they made. I'm obviously in on the Bregman move. All in on Nico Horner this year. Super excited for Moises Ballesteros to get like a 400 plate appearances at least. I think he's going to be one of the most fun hitters to watch in baseball. So there's enough good stuff going on here that I'm going to go with the Cubs slightly over. I don't see this as like a 95-win team. But I think they're right around 90 in Brewers, you know, 87, 88.
Can you tell me whether PCA is going to be a 3-win or a 7-win player? Do you know? Because that'll dictate how I feel.
I should have. Why didn't we ask him? We just saw him in Miami briefly.
We saw him in Miami.
Hey, dude, what's it going to be? What's it going to be?
So this is so funny. So like after one of the games in Miami, I think it was when USA beat the DR. And like one of the USA PR guys was like walking by. We're in the hallway. And he's like, who do you guys want to talk to? By you guys, he means not Jake and Jordan, like the media, right? And I was like, hey, can you bring PCA out? Because I wanted to ask him something. Can you imagine if like I got the first question in this PCA scrum with 50 people after a Team USA game? I was like, hey, Pete, are you going to be a 3-win player or a 7-win player this year? I need to know for my over-under podcast next week.
You could have, you know. There were dumber questions could've. Asked. All week long, there's no doubt about that.
That is true. Some by me.
Where are you at?
I will take the under on the Cubs. I'm going to say exactly 88 wins, so I'll take the very slight under. Cincinnati Reds, 80.5. A team that I hated last year. I'll say it. I won't beat around the Michael Bush. I'll go right at it. I hated thinking about this team. I hated watching this team. And above all, I hated that this team made the playoffs because at no point did this smell, feel, or sound or look like a playoff team. And yet they fell bass-ackwards into the playoffs and were scrimmage fodder for the Los Angeles Dodgers in the wildcard round. However, Jordan, I'm kind of in. I'm kind of in on the 2026 Reds. I'm entering this season with an open mind and an optimistic heart on this club. I think there's a lot of upside here. If things click with Ellie, Matt McClain looks like he's back to being his best self. Gino Suarez and Sal Stewart in the middle of this order are both dudes that rake. Even though they're missing Hunter Green for a good stretch of the season, I look at the rotation and I'm like, that's still probably a top five rotation in the National League with Andrew Abbott, Nick Lodolo, Brady Singer, Rhett Lauder, Chase Burns. Chase Burns is a key for this team because he's got the type of stuff to be like the Mizorowski type young dude with a lot of hype who makes good on it. I'm kind of in on the Reds, man. I have questions about the bullpen, but on the whole, I'm going to take the over on the Reds at 80.5.
All right. Did you pick them to make the playoffs? I assume not, but it sounds like you at least can see them being in the mix and not hating every second of it and just being like,
can I tell you something?
Seems all right.
I don't remember who I picked to make the playoffs. In the National League, I don't know. I filled it out on a sheet.
So, right.
For our boss,
a good time
I don't remember.
This is a good time to caveat that. We will provide our postseason picks in some form on Wednesday's show. However, how accurately they will reflect what we told our editor at the end of last week, no promises on that. As for my pick with the Reds, 80.5, you know what? Yeah, I'll go slight over with you. The projection systems have them a little bit closer to 77, 78. The green news certainly hurts there, even with the pitching depth that they have. But there's certainly more things to be optimistic about offensively. I mean, Matt McClain, listen, the Cactus League is a silly place statistically, but if you hit 529 with the seven homers, that's gonna get my attention.
It's a data point.
Whatever sample against whatever pitching. So, and as a Matt McClain believer, watching him come up in 23 up close and thinking like, oh my God, this guy's a beast. Last year was difficult for me, so I'm nice to see him seemingly back going in the right direction. All right, two more teams before we take a break. Pirates fans, be patient. We're going in order of last year's finish. And though the projection systems are much more optimistic about you, we will stick to our script here and talk about the St. Louis Cardinals, who last year were, I declared them comfortably the least relevant team of 2025. And they may as well repeat. There is a decent chance that this club is right back in there in the perfect zone of nobody is talking about you for better or for worse. The over-under is 69.5. We know they offloaded a bunch of veterans. They're going to let a lot of their young players play. I'm excited about that. I'm amped about J.J. Weatherholt. I'm excited for more Yvonne Herrera at-bats. On the mound, that's where things are going to be interesting. I know I threw out the Dustin May All-Star bold prediction. We'll see how true that comes. I think the most interesting thing to note here is not just the over-under. Fangraphs pegging them at 75 wins while Pecota closer to 67. So the over-under basically perfectly splitting those two projections. Where do you fall in terms of the Cardinals, who we know it is not their intention to win a lot of games this year, but this also probably has too much talent on this roster to be downright
awful. Yeah, that's the thing. Is they're like a souped up version of the Nats, where I have tons of pitching concerns, but yet this rotation, the staff is just so much better than Washington's. And I think the same is kind of true with the offense. I think it maybe has a lower floor than the Nats, but definitely a higher ceiling. I think this is the Jordan Walker becomes a competent big league hitter year. Like I'm kind of on that. I think there's no, what do you say?
Jordan Walker was not who I expected to be highlighted. How about that?
I'm just kind of, I think he turns a half a corner. But yeah, this team has too many decent players to be horrible. So I'll go over on 69.5.
Yeah, they won 78 games last year. Obviously, that included a lot of those veterans in the mix, you know, like a Sonny Gray and Arenado. So, yeah, I don't know. This is another one where it just might be how, especially if this division is better because of the team we're about to talk about, the Pittsburgh Pirates, I think I'm still going to go slight under on 69.5. All right, let's finish up before we take a break. The Pirates of Pittsburgh, and oh my goodness, this is a good time to start bringing up the playoff odds, which are, of course, also included on Fangraphs and Baseball Prospectus. where both of those sites have the Pirates playoff odds coming into the season over 40%. This is the team with the longest playoff drought in the National League, second longest in baseball, only to the Angels of Anaheim. The over-under, however, is 78.5, which is a good amount lower than what the projection systems have them around 82, 83 wins. Are you buying into the new look, Buccos? How much can Paul Skeens will this team to the postseason in his third major league season? What you got?
No.
Is that an under?
Yes.
Okay. Oh,
you want me to say why?
All right, so you're, yeah, please. This is
okay. Sure.
I think that's the point of the podcast.
Oh, okay. We're underrating in all of our conversations about the Pittsburgh Pirates how historically awful this offense was last year. Okay. This was not just like an offense that had a little bit of trouble. Okay. They hit 117 homers. The team with the second fewest homers was St. Louis with 148. Like, they did not just, it was just not like a little bit last. Okay. They brought up the rear and then some in basically every offensive category. I don't think they got better enough on that front to call them a playoff team. What were the additions? Ryan O'Hearn, good player. Ryan O'Hearn's what, Jordan? Like 2.5 win player?
Hopefully Marcelo we'll see Zuna. How his defense rates in same left thing. Field every day.
Marcelo Zuna, same thing. Brandon Lau at second base, good hitter for sure. But is he like a fulcrum of an offense? I don't know. And I think that this defense could suck. I think this defense could be really, really bad. O'Hearn is not really an outfielder anymore. Brian Reynolds is bad in the outfield. We're going to see like Jared Triolo and Nick Gonzalez at shortstop until Connor Griffin comes up. By the way, I'd say now, Connor Griffin's starting the year at AAA. I think that's probably the right decision. We got a lot of cool highlights of him hitting home runs. He actually did not look great in spring training. And so I think it's reasonable to get him some more seasoning. Look, is this rotation awesome? Yes, absolutely. No doubt. The bullpen is more like pretty good than elite. And I think that the lack of offense on this team and a middling to bad defense will leave the Pirates around like 77 wins. Sorry for being a bummer.
Yeah, I'm leaning under also, but I do still think you're correct. This offense was horrific. But I think by making that point, you should be giving more credit to what they did, because this does not look like a championship offense, but it's three new hitters who should all be above average. And that is not a small thing for this lineup. Like that could vault them to competent. If this offense ranks 20th, this might be a playoff team if the pitching is as good as it could be. But I think that is even optimistic, right? I think this should not be the worst offense in baseball anymore. I think that we can say. But I think whether they're in the mix is going to be whether their offense ranks 25th or 21st. Sure. Or 16.
If you gave,
and I am with you that the guys they added doesn't feel like it pushes them all the way back up to the middle.
If you gave this entire roster to the people running the Brewers, I would pick them to make the playoffs. Maybe that's not fair, but I just don't trust this operation to find the value on the margins at this point. They have not shown the ability to do that. It is, maybe I'm proven wrong, right? But like, are you going to give the Pirates the benefit of the doubt? I don't think that they have earned that over the last decade.
No, not at all. Not at all. But they are trying something different. And for that, I commend them. And yes. I would love to be wrong, but I will also go with the oh so slight under. Just they won 71 games. So yeah, I mean, they could even jump back up. But what's so discouraging about it is that was what was so bad about last year, is that they had won 76 games the prior two seasons. And it felt like last year was like, all right, finally, we jump up to 500. Instead, they went backwards. That's why they had to shake some stuff up. But we are still both going to take the slight under on 78.5. All right, before we take a break, just to remind everybody that fantasy baseball season is here. If you're not playing fantasy baseball on Yahoo, what are you waiting for? Sign up Yahoo Fantasy app or yahoofantasy.com/baseball. The Baseball Barbacast Listener League has almost been filled, but I believe we have all of our spots taken. Our 16-team Roto League will be drafting on Tuesday. Thank you to all the wonderful people who sent in their formal applications. Really awesome always hearing from folks, and I'm excited to start that league on Tuesday night. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, the National League West.
Welcome back to Baseball Barbacast. Let's keep the train rolling. NL West. And at the top of the NL West, surprise, surprise, the Los Angeles Dodgers. What?
Whenever you see an over-under that starts with 100, you're like, oh,
you take
okay,
the under.
We're talking about it. Talking about a little bit of a different situation. And to your point right there, maybe that is a reason to take the under. I was just taking, okay, yes. I was going to say this looked familiar. I do believe that this mark of 103.5 as the over-under from BetMGM is the same that it was a year ago. And as we know, the Dodgers did not win 103
what or a failure of a season.
Or 102 games. They only won 93. However, this is not a podcast about what will happen after the regular season concludes. This is how many wins they will bank in the regular season. And that said, that's a gigantic number again. You can say, okay, well, why is this going to be different than the other years? Like 103.5. Think about it this way. How many times have the Dodgers in this run won 104 games? I think it's twice in this run since they've been in the playoffs every year. Let's see. No, I'm wrong about that. Four times. 2017, 2019, 2021, and 2022. 2022 winning 111 games. Since then, 198 and 93.
Yeah,
I will take the under to start the year. So
sure, yeah. I'm taking the under on any team at 100. Over 100. Like, I'm taking the under. It's just so many things can go wrong. Think about the Dodgers last year, right? A lot went wrong for them. They still were really good. There are too many bumps in the road. Give me the under on that.
Yeah. I totally agree. Again, the fact that Pecota projects them for 104 and Fangraphs has them at 96, like, I think more than 93. I think this is still the team I'm expecting to have the best record in baseball. But yeah, I'm with you. 100 is just, yeah. But we don't have to analyze the Dodgers anymore. We'll talk about them playing during the season. So let's go to the San Diego Padres, whose over-under is not 103.5, believe it or not. In fact, it is 20 full wins below that at 83.5. And the projection systems are not especially excited about this Padres team. Fangraphs pegging them at 79, Pecota 81. The Padres are a difficult team to talk about because of how lopsided their roster is in certain regards. But how are you feeling about the Padres, and particularly whether they do still stack up as the second best team in this division? I think that's a good place to start there. Where are you feeling on San Diego?
I am low on San Diego. Who is the best player they added to the roster over the winter?
Added? I believe it's
Michael King
Andujar.
Does not count. Is he was not? On the team last
right.
year.
Andujar. Give me Andujar.
It's either Miguel Andujar or Nick Castellanos. And for that reason, I'm out. I will take the under on the Padres. I'm really worried about the starting pitching depth. I think the bottom of this lineup is kind of bad. Here's the thing, dude. Last year with the Padres, like, even though they made the playoffs and whatever, they were third to last in home runs.
Yeah.
This team.
Yeah.
The team with Tatis and Machado, like, was third to last in home runs. And I don't think that this offense got that much better. The X factor here, of course, is Jackson Merrill. If he's healthy for the full season and roaring at full cylinder, like, he could be really, really great. But I'm just going to take the under on a lot of the projections for the rest of the lineup. And as good as this bullpen's going to be, it's not going to be that good if you can't score runs. So,
yep, totally agree. I am also Man, 83.5 is still quite low. They won 90 games last year. But you know what? I'm not picking them to make the postseason, but 84 is not a huge number. And I am all in on Merrill. And I think that the offense did get... I think the offense is going to be better. But like replacing 32 starts with Dylan Cease, as maddeningly inconsistent as he was, is not a small thing to do. As much as we're rooting for the Herman Marquez bounce back, like him and Walker Buehler being the 4-5 is not an awesome plan A. So I'm actually going to just go barely. I'm going to go 84. I'm going to say 84 wins for the Padres, but it could certainly come crashing down in horrific fashion. But let's go to the Snakes of Arizona. Their over-under is 79.5. Projection systems have them right in that range as well. Last year was very frustrating for Arizona as they sold at the deadline and then kind of kept hanging around for way longer than you would have expected considering what their roster looked like at that point. However, they finished 80-82 and now are back with a concerningly similar pitching staff, I think is the way to phrase it, considering how bad it was last season. Sure, they add Mike Soroka, they bring back Gallen, but Paul Sewald's back. Like, that's a feel-good story, but not necessarily like a feel-good roster spot.
It's not a feel-good.
So, yeah.
It's not feel-good.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't feel good about Paul Sewald being the closer for this team.
No.
The Diamondbacks' plan is basically tread water until the following important pitchers come back. Corbin Burns, Justin Martinez, AJ Puck. Merrill Kelly is going to be on the aisle to start the year. He'll probably come back a little bit faster than that. If they're around 500 when those guys come back, we're going to get a lot of this is our trade deadline ad. I think, however, like I don't think this team's going to make the playoffs. I do think that they will be over on 79.5 wins. This offense is just too impressive for them not to be competent.
I think I mostly agree, but I'm worried enough on the mound that I'll still go slight under here for the Snakes. Let's go to San Francisco, where it's only right. This is the correct line from BetMGM, 80.5. This is where they belong until proven otherwise, but I'm getting out ahead of it. I'm in on the Giants. I'm doing it. Call me a sucker. Call me a Tony V.
You're a sucker.
Devotee. I'm that's fine. I wanted to mix it up. I wanted to believe. I spent some time at Giants camp. Do I look at this pitching staff and do I look at how they handled their offseason and think, hell yeah, Buster Posey really cooked this time? Not really, but I don't know. I think that they have amassed enough good players at this point that this team is going to be in the wild card mix. I am picking them to be the third wild card team. Do I feel good about it? Not at all. But over 80.5, you know what? Even if it's just 81 again, that's fine. I think it's going to be closer to 86 or 87. We'll see how wrong I am. This team, since winning 107 games in 2021, have won 81, 79, 80, and 81, which is just
amazing.
So it's somehow worse than like having a season where you lose 93 games and get a better draft pick. This is mediocre madness. And I don't know how much longer it can last. So I am going to say that this is the year they jump forward and back into postseason relevance. And I sense you will not agree, but I'm doing it. I'm going over. The projection systems have them at 82. What do you think?
I don't think they're making the playoffs, but I will take the over on 80.5. I agree. There are simply too many good players on the offense. Harrison Bader is such an important add for this team because he pushes Jung-Hoo Lee to a corner where he is going to just play better defense. Even with Luis Arraez playing second base every day, I do think the Giants will have a good infield. They have the best left side defense in the world with Willy Adames and Matt Chapman. I think that will cover up Arraez's lack of mobility and skill at the keystone. I think Devers is going to be pretty good this year now that he's kind of entrenched and comfortable over there in San Francisco. Don't think it's a playoff team, but I will take the over on 80.5. Last team in this division, the Colorado Rockies, who a year ago, this is not a misspeak, I'm not miscalculating, 43 wins. They went 43 and 119. This year, they are projected for 54.5. It is a completely new front office. However, the coaching staff is hilariously not too different. I have to take the over on 54.5, right?
Yeah, I do too. And again, that's the line. Fangraphs got them at 66 wins, which again is a bad baseball team, to be clear. Pecota has them closer to 60. So yeah, I mean it's kind of the version of this is the opposite of the Dodgers. Like that's just that is so low. And I think that as I mentioned about like the Nationals, it's like, okay, new regime, just because they changed that doesn't mean they're suddenly gonna be better. I think in this case, you just can't be worse. So they are going to be the worst team in baseball again. I feel pretty good about that. But they can do that and win 57 games. So I think I will also go over here. And I'm fascinated to see what this looks like.
Do I think that any of their offseason additions, Michael Lorenzen, Jose Quintana, or Tomoyuki Sugano, are going to make the All-Star team? No, I do not. Will one or two of these dudes be perfectly competent in a way that they have not had in previous seasons? I do. I think this was a good bit of business. They'll trade as many of these three as they can. I think that the bullpen will be better. I'm very confused about what they're doing with Chase Dolander, who is their most talented pitcher that they're starting the year in the bullpen. I would like someone to explain that to me like I'm an idiot. Maybe I'm an idiot. It's really hard to lose 119 games, and I don't think they will do it again. Let's go from the National League to the American League, where the Blue Jays of Toronto, the defending American League champions, and the defending American League East division champs will start us off. Their over-under is 88.5.
So I've certainly grappled with the Blue Jays more than some of these other teams coming into the season. I went on our good pal Ben Nicholson-Smith's podcast last week, and I was just kind of looking through them. I was like, all right, I was all in. I covered the Blue Jays last, 12 postseason games, basically. And just being around that team and understanding the culture that they had built, the talent that they had kind of amassed, and why it had all come together so well. The thing that I gave the Blue Jays so much credit for last year is that they really avoided any sort of stretches where they just looked awful. Even the other teams at the top of the American League, whether obviously in the Central with Cleveland and Detroit, but even Seattle, even the Yankees and Red Sox had prolonged periods where they looked terrible. The Blue Jays really didn't at any point last year. Early on, they weren't great. But once you got into mid-May, they were just a really good baseball team for essentially the next 5 months. And I was so impressed by that. And I think that ethos can sustain here, even though the personnel has changed a little bit. That said, I think that this division is just going to be a brutal, you know, gauntlet, however you want to describe it. All the cliches we've been giving to the AL East, I think, are going to be true this year. I should have done this for my bold prediction, but I did it for our picks. I'm going four postseason teams from the AL East. I'm going all the way in here. I'm saying that they get all three wildcard teams. And right now I have the Blue Jays as one of them, but I don't have them as the division winner. All that said, slight under on 88.5, I think, is where I'm at for them. This is another team I'm concerned about with the depth. They're already dealing with some injuries on the mound. I think the lineup is going to be worse, not just because of Bichette. I just think that some of it, and so, sorry, David Popkins. It'll be a good lineup because you have Vlad Jr. and that guy's awesome, but it's going to be worse. And in this division, I'm just going to round down a little bit on Toronto.
I'll also round down on the George Springer 959 OPS. I think that Barger can make up some of that difference. So too can Okamoto, but losing Bichette is a big deal. And then on the mound, you Savage being out is not great, nor is it surprising. Who knows where Shane Bieber is? I know that they planned for this in a way, but it's not exactly a plan that involves Eric Lauer making 32 starts, as you know, important as he was to this operation last year. I'm just a little cautious about the Jays. I'll take the under. New York Yankees, 90.5. Remember, the Yankees won as many games as the Jays did last year. Okay, they were even. Easy to forget now. I'll take the over on the Yankees at 90.5. I'm in on the Yanks for 2026.
I am too. I am picking the Red Sox, which we'll get to. So spoiler, I'll go over on them too. But I am taking the Yankees over Toronto this year. As exhausting as it was to kind of watch them run it back to this degree. And again, that is another team that will stand out in an extreme degree when you see my piece later this week involving the rate of returners. There is only one team that brought back more of their plate appearances and innings than the New York Yankees, and we'll get to them here in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, they just decided, listen, our team was good, and it's going to get better because Gerrit Cole's coming back, and we have Cam Schlittler now, and we believe Ben Rice can be awesome. And so I get it. I don't blame fans for being a little annoyed by it, but I understand the strategy. I think that there is a lot to be excited about, even if you do have some Trent Grisham regression, and honestly, Bellinger regression probably too. So all that said, I think the Yankees are going to be really good. I'm not picking them to win the division because I think I'm just going to go all in on Boston, which is a terrible idea. But I'll take them over Toronto, and I'll take them over 90.5.
Oh, no. They brought back the 94-win team.
Yeah. Yep. It's a good team. It's a good team. Sorry.
It's a good baseball good.
Team. I mean, seriously, the pitching could be bullpen. Rotation could be pretty sick. If they really get all those guys cooking at the same time, we could have a pretty special group. But let's go to Boston. I just spoiled it. I'm picking them to win this division. How good do I feel about it? Not good at all. Their over-under is 87.5. Fangraphs has them at 86. Pecota, 83. Uh-oh. Another wild winter of transacting for Craig Breslow. How much of this was plan A and how much of this was reacting to not giving Alex Bregman a no-trade clause? Who knows? But this is, once again, a fairly different-looking roster with some new pieces. Wilson Contreras, Sonny Gray, Johan Oviedo, Ranger Suarez. Ever heard of him? IKF is here now for some reason. But most importantly, Caleb Durbin is the starting third baseman, and that is all I need to see, because what team was Caleb Durbin on last season? Oh, yeah, the best team in baseball in the regular season.
The Washington Bears.
And I think, not quite. And I think Caleb Durbin's a winning ball player. And I think that this pitching staff is going to be great. And I think the Red Sox are going to win the division with like 93, 94 wins. And I believe in Alex Cora. So there you go. There's my Red Sox pitch.
Jarren Duran is better than he was last year. Willier Abreu is better than he was last year.
Yeah.
Even still, it is quite a bit of pressure to put on the 21, soon-to-be 22-year-old Roman Anthony, right? But he seems like someone that can handle that. Roman Anthony has gotten a preposterous amount of hype over the last year plus, and it looks completely warranted. I think he's going to be one of the best 10 hitters in the American League. I think he will carry this offense. But the reason that I'm taking the over on the Red Sox, and the reason that I'm kind of in on the Red Sox, is I think this team is going to be very, very good at run prevention. It is not just that their rotation kicks ass, which it does. Sonny Gray is better than you think. Garrett Crochet is a top three pitcher in the world. Ranger Suarez is pretty good. The Peyton Tolley, Connolly Early wave, I'm very in on. This is a team that knows how to develop arms, but they finally have their defenders standing in the correct positions. So Don Rafael is going to be the everyday center fielder. Thank the Lord. Him, Abreu, and Roman Anthony in left is going to be one of the best defensive outfields in baseball. Trevor Story at short gives me a little bit of, like, the infield defense is not great, but I think that this team has enough elsewhere to be very, very good.
Last point on Boston. Let's not forget about Marcelo Meyer, okay? He earned his way to the opening day roster, which was not a given at the start of spring training. This is a wildly talented young player who got exposed to the big leagues, you know, last year briefly, didn't go awesome against lefties, had an injury to finish the season. With his pal Roman Anthony taking off, now he's kind of left in the dust of like, oh, what is Marcelo Meyer? Is he good? Who cares? Roman Anthony's so great. Let's not forget about this guy. He was one of the top prospects in baseball too, not that long ago. And if he becomes even just like an average player, and I think he'll be a great defender at second base, that's another really good position player to add to this mix, and I think helps make up for the loss of Bregman and Devers, who are now both somehow, in some way, not on the Boston Red Sox. Two more teams before we take a break. The Tampa Bay Rays can't get to the Orioles quite yet because they finished in last. The Rays over-under is 77.5. This is another team that very quietly just completely turned over essentially its whole roster. It was much more subtle, but a lot of the players that appeared for them last year are not around anymore, right? Both Lau and Lowe are gone. Jake Mangum's gone. Taylor Walls is now injured and not playing. Christopher Morel is gone. Caballero, of course, he was traded last year. And then on the mound, there's a little bit more consistency, but a lot of guys that got a lot of starts. Zach Littell's gone. Taj Bradley is gone. Pete Fairbanks, who's been there forever, is gone. So this team is also going to look a lot different. However, it still seems like they're in a bit of a transition. The Rays are always extremely tough to predict. I think just in this division, I have to go under. But I don't think they're going to be that bad. I think they'll have the best record of any last place team, and I don't think it's going to be particularly close.
I'll also take the under, though I don't feel good about it. They'll trade anybody who's okay at the deadline if they're out of it. Nick Martinez, Cedric Mullins, like they'll flip those dudes, and that will make them worse down the stretch. That's the only reason I feel decent taking the under on them. Baltimore Orioles, the Baltimore Orioles, who finished last in the division a year ago, 85.5 wins is their over under. I'm going to take the over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. I mean, I'm having them as fourth place, but I'm also going over with them. I'm all in on the Pete signing. I think, you know, I get why people are worried about the pitching, all things considered, but I think it's going to be good enough, and I think that they mostly know what they're doing. So I'm excited about Albernaz. I'm excited about Pete. I think Gunnar's going to be in the MVP mix again. And yeah, I'm buying the birds. I'll do it.
I am concerned about the defense. That is my biggest worry spot for them. Pete is not on the Mets anymore because he was so bad at defense and they thought they needed to upgrade. That is like a huge deal. I love Pete. I think he's going to rake. I think he's a great player. He's not good at first. Colton Cowser is merely okay in center. The corner outfielders of Taylor Ward and Tyler O'Neill are fine. And then, like, it just all hinges on when they get Jackson Holliday and Jordan Westbrook back. Mm. Both of them are on the IL.
Right.
And what those players are like when they get back. Until then, it'll be Blaze Alexander at second and, I guess, Kobe Mayo at third?
Jeremiah Jackson probably in the mix there, but yeah, it does seem like Mayo is going to have the starting spot. Last thing on Baltimore, we'll take a break. I did not totally register the degree to which they were injured last year. I did a stat head at some point recently. They had two players play more than 100 games, which from what I can tell is almost completely unprecedented to have that few players. 100. I'm not talking about 120, 130, 150. And that was Jackson Holliday and Gunnar Henderson, who are basically in the lineup every day. Otherwise, their third most games played was Ryan O'Hearn at 94, who got traded. So they just did not have any amount of continuity throughout the season because of the injuries and then eventually because of the trades and then underperformance. So I just think that that was an outlier, bizarre disaster season, kind of like Atlanta. But I'm in on the birds. Let's do it. Orioles magic. Feel it happen. We're going to take a break. When we return, 10 more baseball teams starting in the AL Central.
And welcome back to Baseball Barbacast. Let's finish up with the American League Central, which was not won by the Detroit Tigers, famously, as the Cleveland Guardians in 2025 went full fuego down the stretch to swipe this division out of Detroit's hands in the final week of the year. It was just one of the most remarkable things we've ever seen. Kind of got overshadowed because the Guardians were pretty blah in their small postseason sample, but they're going to play baseball again, and they are projected for just 79 wins, a surprisingly low number. Jordan, what do you got?
Projected for lower. BetMGM giving them a modicum of respect with an over-under of 79.5, but Fangraphs and Pecota having them around 75 wins. This is a team that just did not change really anything at all. They brought in our pal Rhys Hoskins, who I'm certainly excited to see here in a couple weeks in Cleveland. But other than that, a couple bullpen additions, they were just like, you know what? We are just going to let the kids play and trust that they will be better in 2026. This is another team and organization that has earned the benefit of the doubt. As much as people want to despise how they operate from a spending standpoint, that is completely legitimate. I don't blame people whatsoever. They are now no longer paying Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz, who might be spending more time on BetMGM than us this year. But they are, while they await their hearings, they will be they will be not paid, which brings the Guardians' payroll down to like $75 million, which is definitely bottom three and very embarrassing. All that said, this team knows how to win baseball games. And while I don't think I'm picking them to defend their division crown, I think they're going to be over 500 again because they will find a way. The pitching is good. Stephen Kwan's going to be better. Jose Ramirez is an absolute legend. And I think Chase DeLauter is going to be great. So I think this team's going to be offensively better. And while I don't expect them to win, 88 wins last year, I think they will still be a decent ball club who we are talking about as in the mix in September.
DeLauter is the X factor. They have not had an offensive talent like this matriculate up through the farm system in a little bit. It's just spring training. I understand. He has looked supremely impressive. He has a chance, if he can stay healthy, to be a very special hitter, a real difference maker in this lineup.
However, both the projection systems and the sports books are a lot more optimistic about the Detroit Tigers bouncing back from their second half catastrophe. Sure, you could point out, the Tigers got their revenge in October when they won that wild card series against Cleveland and advanced to the five-game epic against Seattle. However, the Tigers also did very little to at least change their position player group. This is the team that is bringing back the highest percentage of plate appearances plus innings pitched of any team in baseball. Now, that is not just because very few of their players reached free agency, which is a big part of it. The two guys that did essentially immediately came back in Jack Flaherty exercising his player option and Gleyber Torres accepting the qualifying offer. But they're just rolling back the exact same lineup, which was a real issue in the down the stretch in October last year. But they're trusting the top prospect, Kevin McGonigal, can make a difference. They did add to the pitching staff in a very significant way with Framber Valdez and Justin Verlander and Kenley Jansen to support that Tarek Skubal fella. Altogether, with that depth and still with some decent upside on the offensive side of things, they are projected for 86 wins by Fangraphs. The over-under is 85.5. I will take the over. I am still not buying this position player group, but I am going to pick the Tigers to win the division, I think.
I am not buying this position player group, but I am buying Kevin McGonigal. This is the best hitter in the minor leagues. He is a better hitter than Connor Griffin. He does not have the same upside or the same positional. He's a better hitter. He is also the type of hitter that I don't think will struggle that much on transitioning to the big leagues. It is a very simple setup. He is elite at recognizing pitches out of the hand. He's so freaking good. I think he is going to give the Tigers the offensive needle-moving player that they have lacked the last couple of seasons. For that reason, I am taking the over on Detroit, and I think they will get back to the playoffs in Skubal's final ride. The Kansas City Royals are the next team in this division. Their over-under is 82.5. A year ago, the Royals won 82 games. On our bold prediction show, I said the Royals would win 100 games, and while I do not actually believe that, I do believe that this team will win the division. I am taking the over on 82.5 for Kansas City.
This is another situation where you are just hoping that that everyone stays healthy because not a lot of depth behind this front line, but the top end of this roster is really, really, really good. I know you mentioned, you know, best left side of the infield with San Francisco with Chapman and Adames, but I mean, Mikel and Bobby Witt, man. Woo! That is about as good of a
overall. Yeah, a I was just saying defensively.
Yeah, I'll say defensively too. I mean, Bobby Witt is he's like plus 20 or pretty whatever. Good. I mean, he's one of the best players in the world. Of course, that Vinny Pasquantino guy. I don't know if I like that. I don't know. He seems like a real jerk.
Real jerk.
Kind of tired of that Vinny guy's act. I'm not really
tired rooting for him.
He's a real tough guy to real tough guy to cheer for.
Real me guy.
they have Vinny.
There's no I in Pasquantino.
what are you just getting from these younger hitters in Cags and Carter Jensen, who gave you very different looks as rookies? I guess Carter Jensen is still a rookie. But
yeah,
you got to have more from both of those guys combined. I really do not understand the insistence on sticking with Jonathan India as the everyday guy there. I'm confused about. Yeah. It seems like a strange use of resources. But he's been solid in the past, so maybe he bounces back. But they just need Reagans to stay healthy. And if that can happen.
So I would like to talk about Cole Reagans. I want to talk about Cole Reagans, everyone. 2 years ago, at this very time, heading into the 2024 season, Cole Reagans and Tarek Skubal were effectively one sentence. They were both coming off seasons in which they were unbelievable for like 70 to 80 innings. And it was like Skubal and Reagans, two breakout candidates. And in 2024, you know, Skubal wins the Cy Young, but Reagans throws 186 innings with a 3-1-4 and strikes out 223 guys and finishes fourth in the Cy Young. And then he's hurt last year. If Reagans can stay healthy, like, he's probably a top five pitcher in the American League, definitely top 10, yeah. And something that the Royals straight up just did not have last year. He was hurt. He only threw 61 innings, and he was like, definitely compromised. He, in my opinion, is one of like the biggest X factors in the entire American League, Cole Reagans.
Great. That's a great point. And yeah, right. That's 2 years ago. I mean, last year, there was optimism for Reagans, and I think that it just was derailed by his injury.
He was just hurt.
He was hurt, and yeah, he had a 4.67 ERA because he had some bad BABIP luck. Dude struck out 98 batters in 61 innings. So, like,
he's
when
really
he was
good
on the mound, he was still blowing guys away. It was just, you know, some homers and some walks and some bad luck there. So, yeah, no, I totally agree. That is a great point. As much as Waka and Lugo need to be better, Reagans is the one that kind of sets the tone for this entire staff and has the upside that few others can match in the entire sport. I guess we're both taking the over. I think they will finish ahead of Kansas, ahead of Cleveland. I'm not picking them to be in the postseason because of the lack of depth. Let's go to the Minnesota Twins. Oh, yikes, yikes, yikes. This is another big discrepancy between the over-under, which is 72.5, and the projections, which has them closer to 79, 78, 80-ish. Listen, the vibes could not be worse. I know I'm wearing my Cedar Rapids Colonels hat today to try and give them some, you know, any just slight hint of positivity, but this could be a tough season. There are still, kind of like the Cardinals, there are still some decent baseball players on this team that you can't really say they're going to be horrible, but there's a version of the season that goes towards we're blowing it up for the second summer in a row.
Yeah.
And we're playing a bunch of kids and we're really bad and we finish behind the White Sox. Like, that is in play. I don't think that's going to happen. In fact, my 72.5 is really low. I will go slight under, but I actually would not be shocked if this is still slightly over.
I'll take the over. Ready for a fun sentence? You know, Jordan, if the Minnesota Twins can just stay healthy, I think they got a shot to sneak into a wild card. I'm sure no one has ever said that before, and I'm sure the Minnesota Twins will totally stay healthy the entire year. Like you said, there are good baseball players on this roster. Do I think all of them are going to play all the time? No, I don't, because history tells us quite a bit about the future. That being said, 72.5 is too low, so I will take the over on the Twins. Final team in this division, the Chicago White Sox, who a year ago won 60 games. It felt like way more. And that's because the year before that, they won 41 games. And so they had a 19 game improvement. If they do that again this season, they will get all the way up to 79 wins. Jordan,
will still the over-under is 67.5.
67.5 is the over-under. I will take the under for this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm taking the under, too. This is another situation where, hey, vibes are pretty good. Like, vibes are good. White Sox camp, I went. It was like, okay, we got Murakami's telling jokes about bidets, and Will Venable, like, seems to know what he's doing, and Colson Montgomery is playing a plus shortstop, and
everyone's Shane got a clean
Smith,
butt.
Rule five pick. Yo, yeah. Shane Smith, rule five pick turned opening day starter. What a great story. But yeah, I am just not super loving what's going on the mound this right now. Welcome back, Anthony Kay, Eric Fetty, two friends of the show. I wish them the best, but this is not a position. This is not a pitching staff that I'm super excited about. And I think that while there are some flashy, sexy names in the lineup, it could still be a pretty bad offense. Not that hard to see that. So I'm also going to go under. They will win more than 60 games. They did a year ago. I think 65, 66 is about right.
Munetaka Murakami did not get the deal he was looking for a reason. As much as we love this marriage between him and the White Sox, and I do love it, this is far from a dependable player. Let's finish up with the American League West, where the Seattle Mariners are still holding their championship belt from a year ago. They are pegged for 89.5 wins as the over-under. And before we talk about that, Jordan, one of my bold predictions already looking okay. I predicted on our bold prediction show that Cal and Randy would reconcile and we would get a Cal-Randy handshake bobblehead by September. They have already reconciled in the 4 days since we recorded that. We have gotten public statements from both being like, I'm so sorry for what we did. And that is a good sign as far as I'm concerned. And for that reason, I will then take the over on the Seattle Mariners and 89.5 wins. The vibes are back on track.
Yeah. The second statement put out by Randy, he is not actually like taking questions on it, but whatever. They're squashing the beef. I was never too worried about this to begin with. And now, when you talk about vibes with the Mariners going into the season, it's all about when they start releasing their digital shorts, their modern version of the commercials they used to do. Once again, they're killing it because they always do. I would encourage everyone to go check those out. But yeah, I think there are still some questions with this team also in terms of some of the depth, but I think this is another team where you've got reinforcements on the way. It's certainly, I think, on the position player side with someone like Cole Emerson. I'm pretty high on Cole Young coming into this season. I like some of the additions that they made on the fringes. Brendan Donovan, a perfect fit, obviously. Bryce Miller injured to start the year doesn't particularly shock me. So Emerson Hancock's going to have to hold it down. But I think the bullpen is better with Ferrer. And yeah, I think they're the best team in the division. I think the upside is tremendous, even if Cal Raleigh regresses to, 42 home runs or whatever. And yeah, I think they're going to win more than this. I guess last year they won, was it 90? Yeah, 90. So yeah, I think they'll win. I don't think it's way over, but I'll say 91, 92, 93.
Houston Astros did not win the division last year, did not make the playoffs for the first time since Jordan and I were in college.
Long time.
Wow. 86.5 wins is the number. I'm going to take the under, and I'm going to say this is the year it all falls apart for the Houston Astros.
Ooh.
I think they finish under 500. Ooh. I think they are flat out bad.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm not going that far, but I'm definitely picking against them to make the postseason. I'm definitely going under 86.5. Listen, it's just another situation where it's like, hey, Jordan Alvarez, he's one of the best hitters on the planet. What if he just plays 140 games? What if he does? This roster still does not make any sense. While I do believe in this team's run prevention, essentially no matter who is on the mound, and I like the arms that they brought in, whether it's an Imai, whether it's a Burrows, and I think their bullpen will continue to be good. I agree with you. I think that we saw the cracks last year enough to make me feel like this is still going to trend in the wrong direction, even if they have some positive regression with guys like Alvarez and even Cam Smith being slightly better. So I'll also go under. I don't think below 500. I think it's more like 82, 83, 84. But I'm not feeling awesome about Houston right now.
Texas Rangers, a team that we've thought a lot about, not 83.5 wins.
I mean, that's another team that last year was about as irrelevant as you can be. I think the Mackenzie Gore trade is something that you can look at and be like, all right, they still view themselves as contenders. This is not any sort of transition. This is a team that thinks, no, we're still pushing forward. Remember when we won the World Series not that long ago? We still care about trying to win, and credit to Chris Young for going out and making an aggressive move like that. However, the issues are not on the mound. The issues are in the lineup, where this offense has woefully underperformed since they won the World Series. The only new personnel that they really added is Brandon Nimmo and for Marcus Semien. How much Andrew McCutchen is going to play, I haven't looked at Kennedy Landry's tweets enough recently to really have a good understanding on that. But the point is, they just need all these other hitters to be either healthier or better, more consistent. And if that doesn't happen, I don't think it matters how good their pitching staff is. I think, so what's the number?
83.5.
You know, with Skip Schumacher, I think I will go over. I think I'm going to go over slightly. I don't really believe in them as a playoff team, but a lot went wrong last year. A lot went right on the mound, but a lot went wrong. I'll say second place. I'll go second place Rangers. I'll give Skip some love there.
I agree with that. I think that the pitching infrastructure did a lot right last year, and I think Mackenzie Gore will be a Cy Young finalist. I'm buying him being in a better environment, really helping him. I just don't know what to make of this offense. There are enough dudes here where I think they'll score enough runs to not be awful. I also don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I'll take the over in 83.5. The Athletics, everybody's sexy postseason pick from a year ago. And this year too? Not for us. 75.5 is the over-under for the A's. Listen, friends, this lineup bangs. It is awesome. A lot of good players in this lineup. The A's just didn't do enough to make their pitching staff good.
That is true. However, they did win 76 last year with not a good pitching staff at all. And so I think I'll go over again.
Me too.
Fangraphs and Bakota has them at 79, 77. So, you know, we're still a ways away from believing in this team as a real threat to be a playoff contender, but they are going to score a lot of runs. They are going to tax some pitching staffs. There are going to be teams leaving Sacramento just kind of weary and just like, oh my God, what just happened? We just had to face the A's and just put up, 24 runs in 3 games or whatever. That is going to happen to a lot of teams this year. But they're also probably going to allow a good number of runs. So as long as that happens, I think we will go with a not too much excitement, but I'll take the over on 75.5. Sure. Go YOLO County.
Last team, Los Angeles Angels, 70.5. Fangraphs has the projection for 74 wins, which is mind-boggling. Under forever on the Angels, under for eternity, under now, under tomorrow, under until the day I die or the day Artie Moreno sells the team, under Captain Underpants, under here, underwear, under everywhere. I don't really have much more to say about the Angels.
Yep. I am right there with you. I don't need to pile on other than to just point at their records from the last 10 years and say, why would I believe that this is going to be different? And it really is that simple. So sure, could they win 71? They won 72 a year ago. Of course they could, but this still looks like a last place team to me. And that is why they are one of the handful of teams with 0% playoff odds, at least according to Baseball Prospectus. Fangraphs has them at 5%. So you can cling on to that, Halos fans, to the best of your ability. We did it. We gave you the overs. We gave you the unders. Captain Underpants, should have referenced that earlier in the show. A really important series. That's what they call me. My childhood, for sure.
When I take the under.
Yeah, I don't know which. I don't know if we did more overs or unders or whatnot, but I don't know. I
feel like we're mostly
optimistic on this
show. You know what happened to him? He's actually, he does betting ads now. Captain Underpants, he's like middle-aged and he's Captain Over Underpants. And he just sits on his couch in underpants and he's just a degenerate gambler watching, you know. He's friends with Ipe.
Oh boy. All right. Well, unfortunately, Captain we have way underpants. Too many references that we could make, which is really speaks to where we are at in this world. But hey, when it comes to me in the American League East, call me Captain Overpants. That is me. We did it. Opening day is Wednesday night. Oh my goodness. Opening night is Wednesday night. Opening day is Thursday. We'll be back on Wednesday morning with our opening day starter draft and our official postseason picks. Until then, you can email us baseballbarbecast@gmail.com. Thank you to Andrew Hartson, TJ Brassel for producing. Remember, go sign up for Yahoo Fantasy Baseball, Yahoo Fantasy app, or yahoofantasy.com/baseball. Thank you all for listening. We will talk to you on Wednesday.